just thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We exalt you, O God. We lift your name on high. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not sure if you're aware that there's just a little change in that chorus. The first line says, I'll worship his holy name. And then it says, I will worship your holy name. Makes it more personally, directly to him. Lord, we worship you today. In the Gospels, in Matthew and in Luke, it's recorded that when Jesus was gathered with his disciples for the last time on the night before his betrayal and crucifixion, he gathered them together and said, this is how I want you to remember me. It's a simple ceremony, but so significant. He said, in just a few hours, my life will be taken. But this bread will represent my broken body that will be broken on the cross, but it'll be broken for you. And so it's the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 that shares with us the teaching that says, I received that which also I have delivered unto you, that the very same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Let's receive it today as with thanksgiving, representing the broken body of Jesus that he provided for our healing and our salvation. And after they had supped together, after they'd finished their meal, he took the cup. It was the cup of agreement, the cup of covenant. He said, this is the agreement I'm making with you. It's sealed in my blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Whatever sin may be troubling you today, confess it and let Jesus heal and cleanse it. See, the blood not only covers our sin, it cleanses our sin so that we can come boldly before the throne of God, that we can come dressed in the righteousness of Christ because we've been forgiven, our sins have been cleansed by the power of the precious blood. Let's receive that. The Bible says, and the Lord Jesus took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, this is the new covenant, a new agreement in my blood. As often as you take it, remember me until I come. Let's partake together. When we remember the Lord's death in this way, we don't want to forget the very last phrase. He said, till I come. Could be soon. We don't know exactly when, but one day, we will gather in his presence and we won't have to remember him any longer in this way. But until then, we give him thanks and praise. We're going to invite you now, if you have a special need, let's stand as we sing and worship the Lord. But if you have a prayer need today, we have our leaders of the church gathered here at the front. They'd be happy to say a word of prayer with you. So if you have a special need or a special burden, feel free to come right away and have a word of prayer. And believe God that he will hear and answer as we call upon him today.
Faithfulness, oh God, my. great are you, Lord, for a minute. I really feel like that song is for this morning. It's His breath in our lungs. Amen? He's the one that provides the breath. We are totally dependent on the Lord and His grace and His mercy. Just feel like we need to go back and declare that. Let's go to the bridge, all the earth.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
Because you are worthy of our praise. Our gratitude is based in your worthiness, in your faithfulness, in your amazing love for us. Lord, we thank you for those prayers that have been lifted up to heaven today. We know that your ear is open to hear our heart's cry. We pray for anyone in this room this morning, Lord, that maybe has a burden or a need, a concern. They didn't come up, but Lord, you see their heart. And right now, we just reach out and say, Lord Jesus, we lift that need up to you. We lay that burden down. Lord, we commit it to you, and we believe now it's in your loving hands and that you'll take care of every need and every situation because you are our loving Father and you care for each one of us. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are a prayer-answering God. And we give you praise. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Amen, amen. Amen. Please just take a seat. We're going to worship the Lord now in a very tangible way by the giving of our gifts. This is a very practical way in which we say we love you, Lord, and we trust you to take care of us. Lord, we acknowledge that everything you've given is a gift from heaven, and we return just a part of it to you now. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would come forward as we receive our gifts to the Lord this morning, our tithes and our offerings. Father, we thank you that you are a giving God. You are a generous God. You have poured out your love abundantly upon us. And so, Lord, now we take this opportunity to say thank you and to say we appreciate you and love you with the giving of our gifts. Receive them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of announcements while you're giving this morning. Next week, you don't want to miss it because it's Ministry Fair Day. Our lobby will be filled with booths that will represent all the different ministries of the church. And if you're a part of that ministry, you'll be contacted perhaps this week to man one of those booths. But it's going to be an exciting day, so don't forget to next Sunday morning, a wonderful day in the house of the Lord. Now, how many enjoy a picnic? Yes? How many feel like today would be a good day for a picnic? Except you're coming to church tonight at 6:30, But on the 25th, we're not having an evening service because we're having a picnic. After the morning service, we're all going to go to the park. And you'll be getting more details and more information about that as time goes on. But mark it on your calendar. June the 25th is Spa Picnic Day. Okay, so keep that in mind. And right now, we're going to welcome our pastor. Oh, we have a video. Before the pastor. That's right. We have a video. So if we could have that at this time, please.
So this is where we are in the story.
God made a perfect world.
People messed it up,
but God had a plan to rescue them.
He sent his son, Jesus,
to save everybody.
So we could be with him. And to save us, Jesus had to beat death.
After he did that, he went to heaven.
But first he told his friends,
the disciples,
to wait.
Because he was going to send them a gift,
the Holy Spirit.
So they waited.
Even when there was a giant party going on outside, which was called Pentecost,
with people from all over the world,
the disciples stayed together
inside,
waiting. Suddenly there was a loud noise,
like a really strong wind.
It must have been pretty loud
because lots of people came to see what was going on.
Then fire came down from heaven
and landed on top of people's heads.
This wasn't like the fire we're used to.
It didn't burn them.
This fire was way cooler.
See what we did there?
The disciples started speaking different languages.
Languages they didn't even know.
Or hadn't until then.
They spoke Greek,
Hebrew,
Arabic,
all sorts of languages.
It was a miracle.
A lot of people were amazed.
Some were a little confused.
And some didn't know what to think.
But the disciples knew it was a special day.
A guy named Peter spoke up.
He reminded the crowd of who Jesus was.
And God's rescue plan for them.
And lots and lots and lots of people believed.
Anyone who believes in Jesus has the Holy Spirit.
I believe.
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 God had given them the Holy Spirit.
And we can have the Holy Spirit too.
But that's not the end of the story.
You gotta love kids, huh? I love kids so much, and I love when God adds to the kids. Don't you love that? Or when he adds to the family. We have an addition to the family here again this week. Hallelujah. And Tim and Aaron, they had a little baby boy this week. Tim, are you here? I saw him earlier. Yeah, he's here someplace. There he is. Yeah, give him a hand. They had a little baby Samuel, so you're alone. Mom's still at, well, I guess we'll give her a Sunday off. Yeah, okay. But you're here. It's great to see. Give him a hug. The poor guy, I went to visit them in the hospital, and he had a sign written up there, something like, "What do you do with a crying baby?" or something like that. You'll get some help. There will be people there to help you. But as you saw in the video, today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the day after Jesus' resurrection, 50 days afterward. The people got together, and they started looking for, praying to God, saying, "God, we need more of you." And God filled them in an incredible way. He allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And they were promoted at that time from simply just doing the work of service to being filled with the Holy Spirit to do it with the power of God. And that brings a whole new level of relationship with God when we have the Holy Spirit in us. And that Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost is living in us today. But God wants to enrich us and equip us and help us so that we can be greater servants for his kingdom. We need to be empowered. Oh, wow. We need to be empowered. Hallelujah. We need God's power in our life, and we need to have that fullness on a daily basis. We're looking at the book of Haggai, and we're just finishing off this series in the book of Haggai. And I want to talk to you about something that happened about 500 years prior to that day of Pentecost, that first day when God poured out his Spirit upon his people. The date is December the 18th. 520 BC, December the 18th, 520. God had just talked to the people and had said to them, I want to enrich you, I want to empower you, I want to give you that strength to carry on. And as he looked across the whole congregation or whole audience, God looked down and he saw a man standing there. And God gave a message to the prophet Haggai for this one man. A man that really needed that empowerment of God. He needed that encouragement. He needed to know that God was behind him and that he would promote him to that place that he needed to be at. So let's take a look at Haggai chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 20 to 23, the last few verses. Now, if you don't know where the book of Haggai is, grab your Bibles, go to Matthew, this is the first book in the New Testament, and go back just a few books from that. Haggai chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 20 to 23. I love standing for the reading of God's word. Why don't you stand with me as I read this? This is what it says. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 23rd day of the month. So that he's talked to him once, it's the same day, and he's talking to him again. He says this, "Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty." Father, thank you so much for your presence, for your power, for your Holy Spirit here today. And we know that he is here today. And we thank you for that. And as we take time to look into your word, oh Spirit of God, would you enrich these words? Would you encourage your people? Would you help us to assimilate these things into our lives so that we could be stronger, more equipped believers and making an impact in the community around us? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to look at this morning how we can be promoted as Zerubbabel was at that time to a new place in the Lord, where we can be encouraged in a new place in the Lord. It's got to start by looking at position, at our position, but it's starting off here at Zerubbabel's position. It says here that the Lord came to Haggai and he says, tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. Now, let's start by talking about this person, Zerubbabel. Who is this guy? By the way, you can't say Zerubbabel very quickly four or five times or it's going to come out something different. So don't even try. Now, you're all going to try it, aren't you? Zerubbabel was more than just a simple leader. This guy was actually the son of King Jehoiakim. So Zerubbabel was actually a prince. So here's this prince, and he is now the governor of this hodgepodge of people that have come back to the land. There's about 50,000 people, and here he is trying to govern these people at this time. And part of his responsibility was to encourage them and to lead them as they're rebuilding this temple. And it was a tough job. It was a tough job. And I'm thinking, Zerubbabel as a prince, he probably should have been sitting in some sort of palace someplace, enjoying a nice glass of Welch's grape juice, because as good Pentecostals, that's all they drank back then. Amen. He should have been enjoying life, just sitting back and enjoying life and telling people to do their job. But he's in the midst of some deep, deep, deep challenges. And I'm thinking, if he's anything like me, he's probably going, God, I deserve better than this. Like, do you know all the time I put in or all the work I've done? Like, really, God? Like, and here I am with this group of these people trying to, like, come on, God. You ever been there where you feel, I think I deserve better than this? It's interesting. A couple weeks ago, I met with a young lady who's new to our country, and she's desperately trying to find a place of employment here. And I was trying to help her to get her card and stuff like that and her visa. And I called up, there is an immigration consultant, a name that she gave me, and I called this guy up. And I said, what can I do as a pastor of a church to see that she can somehow get some employment? And he says this, well, what she has to do, first of all, is she has to apply for a job that has been posted for at least 30 days. Yeah, this is what he told me. She has to apply for a job that has been posted for at least 30 days. And then, if she applies and no other Canadian has applied for it, then they will make an application to the government that she can receive this job, and then she can have some work here. And I thought about it, and I thought, what kind of job that is going to be posted for 30 days that nobody wants? A job that nobody wants, right? And I thought, man, it's amazing. Here's people that come to our country that are doctors, that are lawyers, that are professional people that have come to our country, and they're looking for some sort of employment, and they're driving taxi or being nannies because that's all they can get, because none of us wants it. You're following me? But you know what's very interesting is that she was given not a job yet, but she was given a place to stay and a potential of a job. And you should have heard her when she called me on the phone, how excited she was. I don't know if you've ever met someone that has come from a different country that has received a job and the excitement they have, even though it's a menial task, because they can work in this country. They can be part of this country of freedom. And some of the places they come from are not free. See, really, they should be saying, come on, don't you know what skills I have? And sometimes we're like that. Don't you know how great I am, what skills I have? God, can't you see where I'm at? And God says, wait a minute. Can you shine for him no matter what position you find yourself in? See, Zerubbabel should have been in a palace someplace in Jerusalem, someplace maybe beyond Jerusalem, someplace big. And here he was governing a hodgepodge of people. Folks, I want to encourage you, hang on. Hang on when you are finding yourself in a place where it's not really where you want to be. Hang on. Be faithful to God because God's a God of promotion. God's a God of promotion, and he will bring us to another level if we hang on in him. Secondly, there was a promise that he received. I love this. It says in verse 21, I will shake the heavens and the earth. For Zerubbabel, things were looking bad. They were not looking good. He may have felt deflated. The enemy had gotten the upper hand for a long time, but God says there's a shaking coming. There is a shaking coming. And not just a little bit of a rumble, but there is a shaking coming that is going to shake the very heavens and the very earth. Hang on, Zerubbabel. Hang on, because I'm coming. Hang on. Hang on, folks, because God is coming. He is coming, but we got to hang on. We got to hang on. You know what it brings me back to? It brings me back to a time many years prior to this when In this situation with Zerubbabel, he could have thought the enemy has the upper hand. Well, let me tell you, in a time many years after this incident, the enemy did have the upper hand. Let me take you to a street in Jerusalem. On the street at eye level, where everybody could walk by, where there was lots of places, where lots of room or opportunities to mock, to spit, to slap, to throw stones, hung three men on a cross, on three different crosses. And in the middle was our Lord and Savior. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for just a minute. I want you to imagine, now, I haven't been to Israel, but I hear it gets pretty warm. Imagine hanging there on this cross, arms extended, hands nailed to that beam, feet nailed to that beam. You can't wipe the spit off your face. You can't knock the flies out of your eyes. You can't scratch the itch on the back of your head. And you're hanging there on eye level for everybody to see. And that's where our Lord was. That's where our Lord was. And in the last moments of his life, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he said, it is finished. And then something happened. There was a rumbling. There was a shaking. There was such a shaking that it didn't just shake the earth. It shook death itself. And the scriptures tell us that those that were in the grave rose up from the grave and started walking through the city. God did an incredible thing and everything changed. Everything changed. And I want to tell you here today, folks, that God can change everything in our lives if we hang on. If we just hang on and don't let go of the promises in his word. God said to Zerubbabel, there will be a shaking, Zerubbabel. God says to us, there was a shaking and there will continue to be a shaking if we just hang on. Don't give up. He will promote as we hang on. Put yourself in a position where you can receive from him. Secondly, we need his provision. Listen to what it says here in verse 22. God says to Zerubbabel, I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the powers of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. You know, Zerubbabel could have easily said to God at this time, you know, God, I appreciate the fact that you are an optimist. I appreciate the fact that you have this promise, but do you not see the situation that I'm in? God, do you not see where we are at? Do you not see the things that are standing against us? There's only 50,000 of us. God, do you not see? Can you count? Can you count how many enemies there are? There's millions of them. God, we're a hodgepodge of people. We got no real soldiers here. We've got no weapons. We've got nothing here. And you're telling us we will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Did you see these guys? Did you see these enemies? I mean, look at them. They look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Look at them. They've got weapons of mass destruction and they know how to use them. And who are we? God, you're telling me, that we're going to overthrow governments? Us? Annihilate these superior powers? You're telling me that we're going to dismantle the weapons and all that? Us? Really? See, Zerubbabel could have said that, and I think if Zerubbabel would have said that, God probably would have said to him, listen, my boy, I just want to make something clear to you. You're not going to do that, but I am. You're not going to do it, but I am. Why do we feel that it's up to us to make the difference in some of these big situations? Why do we feel that we have to somehow have all the stuff in place and we do it in our strength without the strength of the Lord? Listen, folks, we can't do anything, but God can do all things. And we can do all things through Christ who what? Through Christ who what? Strengthens us. Listen to what God said to Zerubbabel in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. You know this verse very, very well. It says this. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. What? Read it. Let's read it together. Not by might, not by power, but by what? My spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Where are you, O mighty mountain? Before who? Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Now listen, it wasn't because Zerubbabel was some great guy that he was going to move away those mountains that stood before him. Whatever the situation was, it wasn't because of Zerubbabel. It was because of God. It was because of God. And listen, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but by God's Spirit that things can be overcome in your life. Listen, there was a young teenager that went out one day to bring provisions to his brothers. You know the story. And he stood before this giant, little 4 foot something teenager before a 9 foot guy who did have muscles like Schwarzenegger. And he stood there and he said, you will fall, not because I've got a good shot, but because I've got a big God. And God looks at us and he says, folks, the giant may be big before you. And you may be standing there and going, how in the world can I ever make it? You can't on your own strength. Not by your might, not by your power, but by what? By the Spirit, says the Lord. So can I encourage you? God has provision for us. He has provision. He has provision for us. He's got a plan, but you've got to go to him. Jeremiah 32, verse 17 says this, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. What does it say? Nothing. What? Wait a minute. What did it say? Nothing is too hard for you. You think your situation is big. Well, let me tell you, God is bigger. You think your problem is big. God is bigger. And God can take care of that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can take care of those situations in your life? Wow, do you believe that? Yes. Folks, we need to stand upon that truth. God spoke to Zerubbabel, I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the powers of foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses and their riders. They will all fall before you. God wants to provide for us. But we got to hang on to him. We got to hang. He wants to promote you to a new place in him. Are you in a place where you're depending on his provision? Lastly, the book ends with some promises God made to Zerubbabel. I love this. Verse 23, it says, on that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. On that day. See, there's a day coming. Folks, listen, there is a day coming. And you gotta look for that day. Gotta look for that day. On that day, God says there is a day of redemption coming. There is a day of freedom. There is a day of hope. There is a day of joy. There is a day of fullness. But you gotta look forward to that day in Him and not let go. And the promise is to us that there will be new hope, there will be victory, there will be promotion, and it promises that there will be an involvement. Listen to what it says, that God, on that day, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, he says. Now listen, we are looking for involvement in great things in our lives. I'd like to be involved in something big, wouldn't you? Like to see something big, and we're part of something big, but even bigger and greater than that. I want God to be involved in us and each one of us to make something big in you and I. And this is what God promised. Now listen, there's a few little things in the verses here that I think we need to take note of. See, in three verses, God repeats something six times. And I'm wondering if you can get it. Now, here it comes. Here it comes. We're going to throw it up there on the screen. And this is what it says. It says, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and the riders. I will take you, Zerubbabel. I will make you like a signet ring. I have chosen you, declares the Lord. Do you see the subtle, subliminal message in there? What is it? God is the one that will be involved. God is there, folks. God was there for Zerubbabel. He was there for this people. He wants to be there for you and I. And He has promised to us. It says here in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. You ever been in a place of complete loneliness where you feel that nobody really understands? You know, it's interesting. I read, someone said, loneliness is not being alone. It's the feeling that no one cares. Can I encourage you, if you found yourself in a place like that, or if you are in a place like that today, I, God says, am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. He is there. But God, I feel like I'm in the middle of a incredible trial. I feel like I'm in the middle of overwhelming opposition, and you seem so far away. You seem so still and quiet. I'm not hearing anything from you. You ever been there? Am I the only one? We've been there, haven't we? Can I remind you of something? And you all know this. And maybe I'm speaking to some of the teachers. James, you gotta be able to acknowledge this. When you give a test as a teacher, that's when you're the quietest, isn't it? When a teacher gives a test, that's when he's the most silent. He's not gonna say a whole lot during the test. You're not gonna give a whole lot of answers during that test, correct? He's given the answers prior to the test. He's given you the information prior to the test. When you write that test, you just got to remember it, right? It's not correct, teachers in this room, right, Denise? So here's the thing. God's given you the information. He's given you the tools. He's given you what you need. So when you're in that test, just go back on what you've learned. Just go back on what God has said to you and hang on to it. God's not gone. He's just sitting there quietly and saying, I want to see how you are going to use what I've given you already. God is with you. God was with Zerubbabel. He did not leave him. He did not forsake him. And He promised involvement. He promised intimacy. He says, look what He says to Zerubbabel. I will take my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and I will make him like my signet ring. He says, I will take my servant. That doesn't mean He's saying he's my slave to do what I want. This is a very intimate word that the prophet Isaiah used over and over and over again to describe the Messiah. The Messiah, of course, was ultimately Jesus. It's an intimate word. God's saying, you're my servant. You're my friend. He's saying to him, I will take you, Zerubbabel, as being one close to me, and I'm watching over you, and I have a plan for you. And he says, I will take you and I will make you like my signet ring. I've got a picture up here of a signet ring. You all know what this ring is. It, in ancient times, it was a ring that would have the royal seal on it, and a king, of course, would use it to seal a document to show that it was in fact something that he approved of. It was a proof of document was this thing, and God was saying to Zerubbabel, "See, a signet ring, a king would not just take that ring and leave it someplace and walk away. He just didn't do that because it was his signature. He kept it with him wherever he was. He kept it close on his hand wherever he was going. He kept it with him because he knew the significance of that ring, and he would only give that ring to the most trusted people to utilize. But for the most part, the king kept that ring for himself. Now, can you see it? Can you see God having you in the palm of his hand? Can you see him holding closely to you, holding you close and saying, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to reject you. I'm not going to put you aside and go someplace else because you are my signet ring. And this is what he's saying to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, you're close to me. You're proof of my divine intervention in the people. I'm going to use you to be an example to others. And he's saying the same to you and I today. Folks, I want you to stop and realize how intimate our God wants to be with you and I, as close as the palm of his hand. That's the picture that we have here. Listen to what God says through the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You know this one very well. It says this, you are a what? Come on, you can read it louder. You are a what? You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's very own possession. Let me take you back 2,000 years. Let me take you back to that day of Pentecost. Let me take you back to that room where 120 people were gathering together and were praying and were calling out to God and saying, God, we need you. And then let me take you back to what happened on that day. The Bible tells us that there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And then it says that fire came down from heaven and it rested on them. And like the video said, it was something miraculous about this fire. It wasn't that they became human candles. It was the presence of God. See, when you look at the Old Testament, do you remember when fire fell? Fire fell on a bush as Moses was going through the desert, and he sees this bush, and God says, what? Take off your shoes. Why? Because this is holy ground. Moses, I'm here. Take off your shoes, Moses, because I'm right here, and I want to represent it to you through fire. You remember the children of Israel as they walked through the desert, and they're walking along, and there's a cloud that went before them by day, and what at night? Pillar of fire, and God was saying, I'm with you. Folks, don't forget, I'm walking with you. I am there right beside you. When Elijah went up to the Mount Carmel and all the prophets up there of Baal were saying, we are going to prove that your God is wrong, that he doesn't exist, and fire is going to fall on our altar. And they went all day long slashing themselves. They went all day long dancing around, screaming out to God, to their God, Baal. And I love Elijah. Man, I would have loved to have sat down with Elijah. Can you imagine? The guy was such a mocker. And he's just having fun with these guys. Hey! Scream louder! He's obviously sleeping. Oh, he's probably relieving himself. He's in the porta potty. If you yell real loud, Baal's going to come out. He's having fun. And what happens when Elijah says, God, show yourself? You remember? Fire fell from heaven. And see, the fire represents the very presence of God. And fire fell that first Pentecost. And you know, it's interesting because it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You remember the signet ring? Where God put, where a king put a seal on a document? The Holy Spirit seals us with God's presence, proving that we are His and empowering us to do His work. And this thing that happened 2,000 years ago, Acts chapter 2, verse 39 says, it wasn't just for them, but it says the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. That promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and I here today, folks. And I pray that we are calling out for that promise, that intimate relationship with God. There's a promise of intimacy. And lastly, there's a promise of exaltation. Haggai ends by God saying something very, very precious to Zerubbabel. Now listen to what he says. The last few words of the book says, "For I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty." Now that wasn't some flippant words or saying you're a chosen person because, you know, part of the kingdom, rah, rah, right? There was an incredible depth to that. Zerubbabel, you are part of my chosen family. And not just was he part of that time period, but Zerubbabel had a son. And then he had a grandson. On and on. And you know, if you look in Scripture, it gives us a list of all his sons. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter... Go to my next slide there, where it gives the list of... It tells us that God gave different people throughout generations. And Luke chapter 3, yes, verse 23, sorry about that, says this. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he went into ministry. He was the son of, so it was thought of who? Joseph, the son of Heli. And if you keep going down, the son of Jonan, the son of Reth, I can't even pronounce that. The son of Resni, the son of who? The son of Zerubbabel. So here's the point. Here's the point. God chose this man to be in the royal priesthood, royal lineage of our Savior, Joseph being the surrogate father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God has chosen you and I. You following me? He has chosen you and I to be part of his royal lineage. Now you can go back to 1 Peter, where it says this, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And folks, I want to close with this here today. Zerubbabel was in a place that he probably needed a little bit of encouragement. And maybe you need a little bit of encouragement in your life as well at some point. Can I encourage you with this? God wants to promote us to higher things in Him. He doesn't want us to go through the junk of the world, but to rise to a higher level. He doesn't want us just to stay where we're at in Him, but to come to those higher places in Him. But that comes by seeking after Him, being faithful to Him. Even in those times where you think, God, really, really you want me to do what? This menial task? Well, maybe that menial task will open up a door for some greatness in God. But never lose sight of the wonders of serving God, no matter where you are at in your relationship with Him. So, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, God, that you would help us to see ourselves in the light of your Son, Jesus, who was willing to lay aside everything, as we read in Philippians, to lay aside heaven itself so that he could walk on this planet. Lord, he humbled himself. Help us to be willing to humble ourselves. And it's through that humility, Lord, we know that you promote us to those places you want us to be in you. So I pray right now in Jesus' name, if there is anyone here today that is in a place of, maybe they don't feel very encouraged. Maybe they're in a situation that is, it's just not very fulfilling. I pray that you would help them to remain strong to trust you. And as in the case of Zerubbabel, not to depend on their strength, their power, but in your spirit. And that you will lift us up in due time. But most importantly, that you would be lifted up in us. So I pray blessing on your people here today. I pray guidance. I pray provision. I pray your help, your strength. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that as we go through the rest of this day and the rest of this week, that you would use us for great things to bring great glory and honor to your name. And God, we would become less. You would become greater. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand as we worship the Lord together at this time?